affordability is critical, but right now, availability is more important. The traditional models of how we look at pricing are out the door. Climate change has forced us to rethink all of that.
We're back at with Table Talk with Senator Steve Glaser, and I have a wonderful special guest, our Insurance Commissioner, Ricardo Lara. Hello, Commissioner. Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Commissioner Lara, you've had a very distinguished career in public life. I want to just review a couple of those elements to it. You, prior to being elected Insurance Commissioner in 2018, you served with me in the California State Senate for a number of years. How many years were you in the Senate?
It was a total of eight.
8 years. And then prior to that, you were elected state assembly from the Los Angeles area. How do we describe your area that you represented?
It was Southeast Los Angeles. It's the former speaker, Lina Gonzalez's district around there.
And Ricardo, you know, tell us, for people, you know, they see us as politicians and they don't really see us as people. Share something about you and your upbringing that people don't know about you, and it's important to, for them to understand about you.
Well, you know, politicians are people. one of the things that I'm enjoying now in this point of my life is that I get to be my parents' caretaker, which I never thought would ever happen, because, you know, I never thought my parents were going to get older. But that's something that I really, really enjoy now that I'm not, you know, in Sacramento full time. I get to reconnect with family, and they get to see that, you know, I'm also just their son, not an assembly member, not a senator, not insurance commissioner. I'm just their son. So I'm really enjoying that part of my life now.
And you have a classic immigrant story, Commissioner Lara. And would you share that in more detail so people understand it?
Yeah, you know, it's the American story. Both my parents came to this country as immigrants, lived for a while as undocumented immigrants. And then after Ronald Reagan in 1986, they were able to become citizens. And they've been, you know, proud Americans ever since. And, you know, something I always, my parents and I always discuss is, as people always say that immigrants are in search of the American dream. You know, my dad was like, no, we bring the American dream with us. We bring that spirit of inclusion, of wanting to work and contribute to an economy that recognizes the hard work of people. And so, you know, I thought it was really kind of fascinating to hear them talk about them bringing the American dream, you know, what they aspire to be one day, and to see them now as fully realized Americans. And and just in one generation, Steve, it's insane. In one generation, you know, we went from a factory worker and a farm worker in the Central Valley and a seamstress in downtown Los Angeles to now, you know, being a California constitutional officer. That only happens in this amazing country of ours in our beautiful state. And so, you know, and despite what's happening around the world and in our country, we're by far not perfect, but it's those stories like mine that replicate themselves over and over and over again that make this place such a special place to live in.
I love the story, Commissioner, and I thank you for sharing it. You know, we're going to get to a serious topic now, which is insurance, principally homeowners insurance and the availability or lack thereof. But a lot of people don't know what the Department of Insurance is and what it does. Can you share, and you're in an executive role now, can you share with us the kind of the basic elements of the Department of Insurance, and what's your role in this circumstance that we find ourselves in regard to the availability of insurance?
Absolutely. You know, we're definitely living in unprecedented times. We've never seen multiple factors affect the availability and affordability of insurance. And one thing that I quickly learned in this position as insurance commissioner is that insurance touches absolutely every aspect of our life. And so the Department of Insurance really is the largest state consumer protection agency. And we're here to, on the consumer side, hold insurance companies accountable, making sure they're paying out the claims, making sure they're, you know, living up to that contract that consumers sign with insurance companies, and making sure they keep their end of the bargain and of this deal that you enter with. You know, maybe people often think that you see these fuzzy commercials and think that insurance companies are, you know, public utilities or have some sort of, you know, obligation to do business in California. That's not the case. They're for-profit businesses. And so the department is there to make sure that they meet their end of the bargain. And on the other side, I'm also responsible for ensuring that we have a thriving, growing insurance market, one that meets the needs of Californians. And part of that is making sure that insurance companies have enough revenue to pay out the claims for their entire portfolio. And as you can imagine, with wildfires, climate change, the hurricane we just had in Los Angeles, or tropical storm, I should say, with the mass flooding, and then inflation, it has really become a challenge for Californians to find affordable and available insurance, as insurance companies are contracting, are really constraining their portfolio, because again, I want to make sure that they have enough revenue to pay out these claims. But we are definitely at a tipping point when it comes to the largest insurance market in the country, fourth in the world, which is California. And as you know, Senator, when the globe catches a cold, you know, California is part of that. And we start with the symptoms in California because we are the largest market. We are the most diverse market. And so we have some unique challenges that we're going to, you know, that we continue to address.
So your department has the responsibility to review any of these insurance rates and availability. You have how many employees at the Department of Insurance approximately?
There's approximately 1,400. We are the largest department in the country. Very proud of the work that our insurance professionals do.
And we're going to talk about the problems in the marketplace, but just to, again, stay at the basic level. So if an insurance company once says, hey, we want to charge more because we're putting out too much in claims, if they're going to be allowed to increase their rates, they have to go through a process with your department and get your approval. Is that the way the ground rules are today?
Correct. We have a process that's in statute approved by Proposition 103, where we clearly delineate what the process is. And again, we have to make sure, rightfully so, that the rates that are being asked for by the insurance company are fair, they're equitable, and that they're actuarially sound, and that they're not discriminatory. And so we go through this, you know, arduous process with actuaries and our insurance experts to make sure it meets these needs. And often when the insurance company comes up with a specific percentage of an increase, the department usually comes lower, and we negotiate that. Again, it's really, again, to meet that new risk. And there's different factors that insurance companies can and cannot use in their rate filings. And so I'm proud to say that we have some of the strongest consumer protections when it comes to insurance rates and rights for claimants than any other state.
I'm going to dig down in a moment on some of those factors that you take into account. But now let's set the stage for what's going on in the homeowners market. In the last few months, a number of very big insurance companies have said they're not writing new policies for homeowners. Those include State Farm, Allstate, Farmers, a couple of newer, smaller companies, and you may know more to add to the list. And their conclusion is that the risks involved in writing new policies are not worth any potential profit that they may get by the rates that they're currently able to charge. And have those companies, first of all, I've heard numbers like that's 20% of the marketplace is now at risk, but maybe you could put those withdrawals in context. These aren't people that are pulling out of existing policies, right? They're saying we're not writing new policies. Can you put that in context? I know there are people that are listening, they're saying, I can't do this, or I'm having trouble with that in terms of insurance, but could you give us some context to those announcements and what they mean? And then we'll dig down into the reasons that they've given for why they're not writing new policies.
Absolutely. There's a couple factors that are going on. And having companies really take a pause on their book of business and in growing business in a given state is something very natural and normal. Because again, I need to make sure that when I look at their entire portfolio, they can pay out 100% of those claims at a given moment. And so if a company is taking on too much risk in a particular area or just in their overall portfolio, then we come in and advise them and work with them as they're going to pause their business because, again, they have a financial obligation that they need to meet to their current customer base. And so it's nothing new. What has really, I would say, upended the traditional insurance market is really inflation. And we haven't seen inflation of this magnitude in over, what, 20, 30 years, they said. And so think about the cost of repairing a vehicle has almost doubled. The supply chain issues that still exist, COVID disrupting, essentially the globe. And again, just the cost to do business. And the way I relate this to people is, look at the cost of used vehicles. That's gone up. The supply of vehicles have gone down. Everything's more expensive. You go to the grocery and it's the exact same thing. You go to the grocery store. And so insurance costs for insurance companies have really gone up. Plus, you have unprecedented wildfires that we've never experienced before. Massive flooding, extreme heat that really challenges our health insurance industry. And then you have the cost of reinsurance. And reinsurance is essentially insurance that insurance companies buy to cover themselves, right? And that is tied to the global market. So reinsurance now starts becoming an issue because they're charging more to be able to insure companies as they're taking on more risk, more wildfire risk, for example. So we're all connected. And this is why I always say, you know, what's happening in Florida as insurance companies are actually pulling out of that market, that hurts us. Or after the big freeze in Texas, that affects our market as well. Insurance is, we are all connected, especially with these reinsurance costs. And so just as the cost of doing business around the world because of inflation is much more expensive, that also impacts our insurance market. So coupled with the pandemic, with inflation, climate change, these massive catastrophes that we're seeing, insurance companies are now operating at a loss. And so I have to make sure that they're at least breaking even, especially as we're going into our own fire season. And that's why you're starting to see that contraction in the market and affecting availability and affordability. And so it's, you know, again, we're living in these unprecedented times. Like I said, we got another taste of this week with Tropical Storm Hillary in Southern California, the wildfires that are ongoing in Northern California. And we need to make tough decisions. And we need to make insurance more available. And by having more companies competing for our business, that's how we're going to make it more affordable. And we need insurance companies really working with us to make those changes. And so we're working hard to get that done. And as you know, Senator, these things unfortunately take time.
They do. So I saw one published report that said that there's about 20% less availability for insurance options than a year ago. Is that a fair estimate?
I don't know, because see, that all depends on the company. But what we are seeing and how we are looking at it is, the way we're seeing it is we're seeing a growth in the FAIR plan, which is our insurer of last resort. And those are the properties that traditional insurance companies are not going to cover. They get sent to the FAIR plan. And we've seen a double in the amount of policies that the FAIR plan has, which still makes up roughly about 3% of the overall market, which in hindsight, you say, well, you know, it's only 3% of this massive homeowners market. But we know where it's happening and where these non-renewals are happening. It's devastating the local economy, because if you can't find insurance, you can't sell your home. Therefore, your property value goes down. Therefore, the community gets less resources to actually hire the fire professionals that they need to fight these fires. And so it's that tremendous domino effect. And so what we're working on is to try to get some assurances from the insurance companies that if we modernize our process by which we do these rate filings, by allowing some additional technologies around catastrophic modeling, that we get some assurances that they're going to be writing and increasing their writing in the admitted market in the wildland urban interface, for example. And so those are ongoing conversations that we're having, because there is really a need to modernize the way we price insurance. Because as you know, the traditional models of how we look at pricing are out the door. Climate change has forced us to rethink all of that.
So I want to ask you about the different modeling options going forward, but I want to clarify one point. When you've been, as you said, negotiating with insurance companies in terms of the coverage they have and their ability to pay out claims, so are any of these pauses that we talked about with these big companies, State Farm, Farmers, Allstate, were those out of conversations that you had that said, hey, listen, guys, you need to pause. We're not comfortable with the balancing in your portfolio now, or do they do these things on their own?
No, it's both. So they approached us in some instance. They're all different. And so, you know, in one of the companies, they approached us. They're like, this is what we're seeing. We kind of verified it. And then we worked on how do we lessen the impact to consumers? How do we make sure that, you know, your ongoing consumers are protected, and then start making some of the changes so that we can keep you growing? The fact is that, you know, I think it was Allstate that became one in every four policies in California was an Allstate policy. Well, that's a lot of risk that they're taking on. And so, you know, again, this is what we do in our financial surveillance. We're constantly monitoring the economic health of our insurance companies.
Great. And we appreciate that. You know, so now to get into a little technical stuff, but I know that people are listening are probably because they're concerned or have a worry in terms of the availability. So maybe they will appreciate this examination. And you touched upon it, which is modernizing the assessment of risk going forward. And one of those things that would come into play is a model. The traditional insurance model is looking backwards and saying how many crises or problems or that you had to pay out, at what rate were you getting revenue, and what kind of profit that got to you. And there, and it's all like in a rear view mirror assessment of what happened last year. And that when you talk about new modeling, you're talking about potentially looking forward in terms of the risks going forward, given fires, climate, all these extra things that we now are almost becoming a regular part of our world. So that's an example of a changing of the modeling that you're speaking to, Commissioner. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's absolutely what we're talking about. And these models are brand new when it comes to fire. And this is why, you know, at the department, if we allow for these new models, we should also be allowed to verify their validity, to make sure that they're not being used to further discriminate who gets insurance, who doesn't, and that the algorithms that they're using, the input and the data they're using is accurate. Because the last thing we want is to create models that are inadvertently gonna, you know, bump people off. And so we'll be having those conversations, because we also realize that historical data, as you said, is out the door. Climate change has upended everything. And so we need to give insurance companies additional tools so that they can help us understand the risk. Where are we at most at risk in a state? Similar to what we do with flood or hurricane, right? But it's much easier when you see an atmospheric river heading our way. You can more or less, through data and science, determine how much rainfall you're going to get, and then be able to assess that in terms of claims. Or in a hurricane on the East Coast, I mean, who knows, that we should say West Coast now these days, but the models around fire are still brand new. And so we're also looking at what models are out there, what scientists are using these models, and how do we verify those? And so it's really an exciting time when it comes to trying to use data and science to really determine how these fires react, and how do they grow. And we know the other thing too is that we know that one change in the wind can really change the entire trajectory of this fire. So how do we model that for the future? So these are all things that we're working on.
So let me now, I'm going to try to make a point from the insurance industry perspective and ask your view, and then I'm going to make a point from the consumer protection side of things and ask for your point of view. So the insurance company side of this circumstances, they would say, Most states in America use this forward-looking model to assess risk, and that was something we're a lot more comfortable with because we feel that, you know, we're going to be able to charge a correct amount so that we don't lose our shorts and can't pay out claims and at least get a fair market rate of return. So they would say, what's the holdup? What's the slowdown, California? Why are you an outlier? That would be an insurance company point of view. What would be your response to that?
So my response to that would be is that we need to amend Prop 103 to allow us to look at the use of data, the use of catastrophic models that currently we don't have. And so we're unique in that way that we have this statute that quite frankly needs to be modernized. And that's a plan that we're working on, is to really modernize those statutes, because it's not even just catastrophic modeling, Steve. We have to look at how AI is impacting insurance rate. How is big data and the use of big data? The use of, you know, how is reinsurance being calculated around the world? Can we look at can we try to isolate our own reinsurance risk as a state of California? Those are all things that we're looking at, and we need to modernize our statutes to allow us to do
it. Great. And then from the consumer point of view, they might say, hey, look, this is just another scheme to gouge consumers and charge them more for homeowners insurance, which they can't at least be able to afford, many of them can't even afford today, that this is just another scheme to get Commissioner Lara to approve higher rates that are then going to be unaffordable. And that's the insurance company scheme that you should say no to. And what would you say to that point of view?
To that point of view, I would say, look, to every consumer that I've talked to in every single county in California, to them, they want an insurance option in the admitted market. They don't want to be sent to the FAIR plan. They don't want to get policies with international companies which have no consumer protections for Californians. And so the ideal here is to give availability of insurance to every Californian, so then the cost comes down when insurance companies are back fighting for your business. And so, yes, affordability is critical, but right now, availability is more important. We want insurance companies to increase their market share given the ongoing risk that we live in every day. And so I hear it every day from consumers that want that option and are willing to pay for coverage that is comprehensive as opposed to the FAIR plan, which is much more expensive, limited in scope and coverage, and leaves consumers very vulnerable.
And let me end this conversation with the typical question that I get in my Senate office, which is a resident who says, I cannot get insurance. I lost my coverage. Where do I go? How can I find that affordable plan again? What would you say to Mary or John or Jose who says, what's happened and what do I do? And I know the FAIR plan is this insurance of last resort, as you've explained, and maybe you can explain where people can link up to that. But what is it that they might be able to do to help protect their property now with affordable insurance?
So the first thing I would do is I would highly encourage everyone to check out the resources we have available online at our insurance.ca.gov. And if you need more help or a specific question on your policy, we have an entire team of insurance experts who can help. We have a hotline that speak multiple languages, that people are actually on the hotline Monday through Friday at 1-800-927-4357. Or you can even use an online chat feature on our website at insurance.ca.gov, that there is somebody answering those questions. The thing is that it all depends on your insurance policy. All of them are different. And so what we've done is we actually sit down and review the policy with you. In many instances, we're able to keep your insurance coverage. And other times, we help you find other insurance companies that might not spend millions of dollars in advertising that can help you and give you coverage. There's over 100 companies that are still writing homeowners insurance policies in California. I also just lastly want to give a plug, Senator, to your district, especially the city of Orinda, who has really been a leader when it comes to FireWise communities. That I'm telling you, I was I was just there. I even went to your favorite sandwich shop and really have done a really bang up job in making sure that they're using our Safer from Wildfires framework to get them discounts on their policies. They're hardening their homes, they're connecting with their neighbors, and really that the Fire West community, Orinda, has become an example that I always use around the state, and it's really an example for the rest to follow.
Well, that's a nice shout out. In fact, I was thinking about doing a podcast on FireWise and the community groups that are working in that space, because they are doing important work. And as you said, if a consumer can help protect their area, make it safer, the insurance folks are going to recognize that and potentially reduce rates or make insurance more affordable.
Well, actually, now it's going to be law. You're going to get a discount. And if you even look at Orinda, 30% of the homes in Orinda are in a FireWise community. That is amazing.
Yeah, they're doing some really good work. Well, Commissioner, is there anything I haven't asked you about that you want to share with our listeners today?
I would just tell your listeners, we understand the issues. We hear you. Very soon, we're going to come out with a plan that, that's going to, again, really get us to a place where we're using new technology. We're modernizing the tools that we use at the department with some guarantees from the insurance company to continue to write and expand in California. It's been a year in the making, and I hope you give it a consideration, because it's going to be hopefully, I think, the most significant insurance reform that we've had since Prop 103.
Well, Commissioner Lara, we so appreciate your time today, your leadership in this space. I know that for many of the folks listening, it's like it could never happen too soon, because there's a lot of stress out there that people are facing, and I know you know that. I want to thank you for sharing your story of how you've come into our world of politics and government. It's an inspiring one, and I'm sure that your family takes great inspiration in your leadership today. We appreciate you very much, sir, and thank you again.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks to California's Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara for joining us this week. To find resources on insurance discussed in the episode, you can visit the California Department of Insurance online at insurance.ca.gov. And as always, if you enjoyed this episode of Table Talk, please subscribe, rate the podcast wherever you listen, and share with a friend.